You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I am your host, Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte has joined me in the studio, and we're pleased to welcome back on the phone energy journalist Nancy Grant. Nancy, thanks for being on Sounds Good again.
I'm glad to be here. Good morning.
Hey, Nancy. You know, you are a member of the Cooperative Communicators Association, the American Society of Journalists and Authors, and you've been writing a series for Kentucky Living that I just hang on. I'm saving it, actually. The title of the series is On the Grid, and today we are going to talk about the article you wrote titled The Rules That Keep the Power Flowing, How an Invisible Web of Federal Rules and Regulations Governs Electric Utility Operations and Affects Your Bills. And I'm here to say that, Nancy, this isn't easy.
Well, a lot of people don't understand how electricity works. They just want it to work. We all want the lights to come on, our computers to come on, the oven to cook our dinner, and the refrigerator to keep our food cold. But we seldom give much thought to how that power gets to us. So, the one thing that I think would help people understand is just to remember that electricity is not a thing. It's a force. It's vibrations and movement of electrons through the wires, and how it gets from the power plant to your home or your office is a very complicated bit of engineering.
So let's focus on our coverage area, Nancy. Western Kentucky, southernmost Illinois, and northwest Tennessee. Where do we get our power from, and how does it get to us?
All right. Well, within Kentucky, most of the local distribution electricity companies are rural electric cooperatives. I'm thinking of West Kentucky RECC. I'm thinking of Pennyrile Electric. I'm thinking of Hickman Fulton. And those are electric cooperatives that distribute electricity that they buy from someone who generates the electricity. In that part of Kentucky, the person, the entity that generates the electricity is the Tennessee Valley Authority, TVA. They have a lot of different resources. They have coal-fired power plants. They have natural gas-fired power plants. They have hydroelectric dams. And they also have some nuclear power plants. And they put electricity into the big transmission lines. And then the local co-ops buy that power and send it out to your home or your office or your farm. Now, there are other companies that are supplying electricity in neighboring states. A company called Vectren, which is an investor-owned utility, serves customers in parts of southern and central Indiana and other states. And a different investor-owned company called Ameren serves southern Illinois and Missouri. So there's power coming from different kinds of companies within the region.
Is Northwest Tennessee also part of the TVA system?
Yes, it is. TVA actually operates in 7 states, not just Tennessee.
So you've got the power generators, you've got the power distributors. Tell me how electric loads get transferred to places that need it due to a generator being down for some reason.
All right. Well, not all the generators are operating all the time because the demand for electricity goes up and down during the day and during the night. Sometimes more electricity is needed, sometimes less. And there also are out-of-service periods where generators are turned off because they need maintenance work, or they may be pushed out of service due to some kind of natural disaster. So there have to be lots of generators running so that if one stops, the other generator can supply enough power to all of the customers.
But
and
how
it's
does
a
that
balancing
work?
Act. Go ahead.
Who puts the switch up to where the power is coming from a different place all of a sudden?
Okay. Well, there are engineers in control rooms of various different kinds throughout the region. There would be controllers at the generating plant who are making sure that the right amount of electricity is coming from the turbines or whatever and going into the transmission lines. And then there are other types of control rooms distant from the actual generating plant that are balancing things and saying, oh, we need more power from generating plant number one, and could we have some more from generating plant number three? So it's done with computers, and it's done with human beings. There are two kinds of federal control and coordination groups that work in multi-state areas. One is called a regional transmission organization, and the other is called an independent system operator. And they help coordinate which power plants are running and which transmission lines the electricity is flowing through.
So the Kentucky Public Service Commission regulates the pricing, and other entities regulate the flow?
That is correct, yes.
Now tell me about the regional organization and then the federal organization and how they co-relate.
Okay. Well, on top of the actual people in control rooms making electricity flow this direction or that direction to where it's needed, there are regulatory organizations that make sure everything happens in an orderly fashion. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission oversees what happens when bulk power is moved across state lines. And then the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, instead of focusing on the keeping track of the transactions from a money standpoint, they focus on service, making sure that there are enough power generators within a region to meet the demand of the customers in that region, and that there's some extra power to spare in case of a natural disaster or an equipment failure so that the power doesn't blink or brown out or black out. And they make sure that there's plenty of electricity out there to fill in any gap.
Nancy, you sound very confident that the power grid infrastructure works the way it should, and yet when we see the brownouts in major metropolitan areas on the coast or something, it seems like it doesn't really work. What's your takeaway on that?
The people who operate generators and the transmission lines are constantly upgrading the equipment and trying to think of the worst case scenario and all that sort of things, anticipating trouble. But sometimes natural disasters occur, sometimes human error occurs, and the power does blink. Brownouts is a little bit different situation, and this is what we're approaching now as federal policymakers are beginning to tinker more and more with how the power grid works and putting restrictions on it in the form of you can use this type of equipment or fuel in the form of let's have more renewables, different things are occurring from policy decisions, and it's not matching up so well in some cases with the reality of operating the grid.
This sort of leads us right to your experience with the Governor's Conference on Energy and the Environment that, I mean, it had to be the elephant in the room about the EPA regulations regarding coal-fired steam plants that generate electricity. What were your takeaways?
There was a deputy administrator from the EPA. He gave a speech, I believe that was on Wednesday at lunchtime. And Governor Beshear had given a speech on Tuesday talking about how nervous everybody is with what President Obama proposed on June 25th about regulating carbon dioxide emissions from coal-fired power plants. And the reason this has everybody nervous is because it is unclear at this time whether the EPA will listen to the individual states or whether or not the EPA will say one rule fits everybody. And Governor Beshear, although he is of the same political party as President Obama, was very clear in his remarks that he hopes the EPA will listen to the individual states in the different regions of the country and see how important continuing to use coal to generate electricity is to the rates that people see on their electric bills. And this is important not just for households. Everybody's household budget is still squeezed pretty tight. We don't want to pay more for our electric energy, but it's vital to American manufacturing. And that is the takeaway message that I got, that all discussions about what we need to be doing or not doing with the electric power grid must not focus on energy versus the environment. It must be a three-way discussion: energy, environment, economy, because electricity drives the American economy.
Nancy, I really thank you for being with us today and for managing to get complexity into a simple form for the rest of us. I look forward to you speaking with you again with the third and final series, third and final article in your series in Kentucky Living. I appreciate your doing this for us.
I'm glad to do it. I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.